My sermon text for today is not one of the assigned readings, but in honor of confirmation of Kai, Landon, Lauren, and Landon, I'm preaching from Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, and I read in Jesus' name. The Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote these words, "I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude." Let us bow for prayer. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is eternal truth. We especially ask your blessing, Lord, upon those four confirmands that are being confirmed today. Thank you for this opportunity for each of them to study your word in more depth. And we pray, Lord, that this day will be not the end, but the beginning of many years of service in your kingdom, fellowship with your people, and enjoying your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray and give you thanks. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Kai, without a doubt, your parents have wanted you to be in good health and eat good food and get good hard work to keep strong, and that's happened over the years. Get good sleep and work hard at school and with your chores and all the responsibilities you've had. More than likely, your parents have brought you to a doctor or clinic for vaccines. No kid likes that part, but that's part of growing up, isn't it? But your parents have wanted your body to be able to resist serious infectious diseases. And again, the little bit of pain from the shots are better than the greater pain of the more serious disease. More than likely at home or at school, you've been taught to cover your mouth when you cough, either with your hand like that or coughing into your elbow area, and which is a good thing to do. Because you don't want to spread those bad germs to other people, you've been probably shown that the T area, your eyes, and then your nose and mouth, and you want to try not to touch those areas or when you're sick, or if you do, you want to wash your hands regularly. And again, good for us, and that's important for us. Today on your confirmation day, we will be talking about developing a spirit of resistance to enticing words, and instead of not wanting to be contagious in this way, we want to be contagious as you seek to live out your faith in Christ with your courage and convictions. And of course, it's for you, but also for the whole congregation as well. So as I go through this, I don't want the illustrations to drive the text. I want the text to drive the illustrations, but I think the illustrations go along in one way or another with what the text is saying. And as we look at verses 4 and 5 today from the book of Colossians chapter 2, we see that we are to be resistant to enticing words that deceive. The idea, the word picture, the illustration that I'm using is that of a vaccine. You want to be prepared. You want to know the truth so that when something comes along that's false, those enticing words, those words that, boy, that sure makes sense, that is from a worldly perspective, we can say, no, that might make sense. It might seem to be right, but I have to compare it with the written word of God. I have to compare it to Scripture and see how it measures up. So the idea of having a vaccine, so you're prepared, you're inoculated for that false teaching. We're encouraged to admonish or warn one another. That's part of what we do in a congregation. We're concerned about one another. My job as a pastor is also to show that concern and to warn and to prepare people in that way. But Paul says, so I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive arguments. And the idea of deluding is to deceive or to beguile, to trick someone with something. And we have a lot of things that will do that. And maybe you in particular, maybe each of us as those who are here in the congregation today have purchased something that you think, I just have to have this thing. And then you get it and you open it up and you try it a little bit and it's like, oh, this is just a piece of junk. It's not what I expected. I was deceived. It looks so good in the commercial. It looks so good on the package. And then you try it and it's not worthwhile. God doesn't want us to be deluded in our spiritual life either. To be deluded with persuasive arguments. Again, people can come up with a very fancy way of saying things and can say, well, you know, this person is a doctor or this person is a scholar, and who am I to challenge him or her in these things? But we have the Word of God in one hand and we study and read it on a regular basis, and it will help us be prepared to be equipped to resist any kind of delusion or beguilement or deception. Not only are we to admonish one another, to warn one another of false teachings and things that are not in accordance with God's will and God's word, but also we are to encourage one another. Paul said about his own ministry, even though I'm absent in body, yet nevertheless I'm with you in spirit. I am rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. And the Apostle Paul was free in his correction when it needed to be, when behavior and ideas needed to be corrected, but also very gracious and very free in his encouragement and talking about rejoicing to see their good discipline, the idea of things being lined up in the proper way, and the stability of their faith in Christ. That is the idea of something that's established, something that's firm and steadfast. We are to be equipped and prepared, inoculated against deceptive words and enticing arguments. Rather, we are to use the word of God as a sword of the Spirit to resist, and the shield of faith, the faith of the Christian faith, to resist these attacks of the devil and of the world and the struggles that we have with our own sinful nature as well. Then as we look at verses 6 and 7, we see that we are to be contagious. Again, this is the opposite of what the normal advice is, but we're not to be contagious in our bad germs, but in our Christian life, we are to be contagious. Again, normally I would say cover your cough, but in this situation, don't hide your faith. Don't hide, sometimes we sing in the Sunday school song, hide it under a bushel, no. And of course, the kids and the VBS kids, I'm sure, are going to sing loudly those kinds of words. No! And rightly so. Back in the earlier chapter, chapter 1, the Colossians were told that we received Jesus by faith. Therefore, as you have received Jesus, Christ Jesus the Lord, that is by faith. And then chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, we read, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world it also is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. It's fun to be able to look back through someone's spiritual journey and talk about some of the highlights. And I know with Kai in particular, he's gone to camp for many years and has been involved in a lot of those things, been involved in church, and look forward to having him in youth group as well on a regular basis. But to see that growth and that development, that maturing, not only physical and not only intellectual, that we study and learn things, but also as we go on in our walk with the Lord. We continue in that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with his people as well. So we are to continue our relationship with Jesus, not by works, not by self-confidence, but by confidence in what Jesus has done for us. And Paul describes the way that these Colossians, these Christians, have been connected with Jesus, having been firmly rooted. That idea of a strong root foundation, the source of nourishment and water. Now being built up in him, that picture of growing and continuing in that relationship, established in your faith, just as you were instructed. And Kai has always had a good attitude whenever he's come to confirmation class. I know sometimes people, young people, are told, you're going to go to confirmation whether you like it or not. And sometimes their eyes might roll to mom and dad or even to the pastor. But it's been good working with this group of young people, and I've enjoyed it very much. But that time of instruction, that time of training, which of course is not over, but it's the beginning of the years that will follow. And then the result of this Christian, the fruit of this Christian life, overflowing with gratitude. And again, sometimes gratitude is a choice. But as we focus on what Jesus has done, the focus on Jesus dying for me, dying for your sins and mine, and having that assurance that my sins are forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ, that basis of my meditation is what helps us to overflow with gratitude. For Kai and for others, you have been confirmed in the Christian faith. You may have been brought to the Lord in baptism as a young child. For some, you may have come to assurance of salvation at a later time. For many, unfortunately, confirmation is like a graduation from church. I've done my time, now I'm free. Until some later date, either marriage or baptism of children or funerals, But in reality, confirmation is not to be a graduation from church, but rather it's a time to become more and more involved and use the gifts and abilities that God has given you and the rest of us to serve one another in love, to reach out to unbelievers with the good news of Jesus' love and his sacrifice for them. God has blessed many of us here with the gift of repentance and faith in Jesus. That is our desire for each and everyone, including for Kai and for the other confirmands this morning. I'm grateful for the opportunity that I've had in the lives of these young people, and thank you for your prayers for them. And we pray and desire that they will continue to grow in their walk with Jesus, that we will be an example to them, that they would be an example to us as well, and a mutual source of encouragement and good fellowship in the months and years to come. May the Lord bless and keep each one of us in this faith which Kai has professed this morning. We pray that we might continue faithfully, holding on to the Christian truths and not yield, not give in to the world, not give in to temptation, not give in to the schemes of the devil. But if and when we do, that we will be brought to penitent faith once again. We'll be brought to repentance. We'll confess that sin, receive Jesus' forgiveness, and then walk in that forgiveness, walk in that new life that Jesus calls us to. Amen.